Coming up on TMS, I like tiny pasta, and I cannot lie.
And it comes with a free raspberry.
Vomit, the Control-Alt-Delete of the stomach.
With his mouth, not with his butt.
Post-holding cereal.
The study of meat texture, zombie edition.
Facing shingles, head on.
No decisions, no pasta, and no Lieutenant Yar.
As God is my witness, I thought Jamie Lynn Spears could fly.
Spin the cowboy guts in Vegas.
Wrist butts.
The critics agree. Ruh-roh.
They shot the movie, but he didn't kill the pigeon.
Lightning strikes twice with Bobby.
All sorts of detritus with Bill and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
There's such a fine line between a good man and a bad. David Hasselhoff on Broadway in Jekyll and Hyde.
This is no day at the beach.
Somebody pooped on my couch and my blanket.
The Morning Stream. Maybe it's ransom.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It is Tuesday, January 17th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Good morning, Brian Ibbett.
Good morning, Scott.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Real quick note here.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, honey. My wife brought me a hot beverage.
This just in.
Thank you,
Scott,
dear.
A hot beverage.
Thank you very much. I'll be going in me shortly. But we skipped the show yesterday for MLK Day, the Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was great. I also took a little time to think about Martin Luther, just for no reason. I went and looked up some history about him. I went, you know what? Martin Luther King Jr.
So not just Martin Luther King, but you looked up Martin Luther as well?
Yeah, I went to his namesake and just dug around. I have to admit, I didn't know a ton about how Protestantism started or why he rebelled or why he was almost killed four or five times for his chaotic anti-Catholic beliefs. But or was it King of England or Church of England? I can't remember which thing he was rebelling against. But it was fascinating. It was interesting. So I recommend it.
Cool.
You want to go back in time, go check it out. That guy's cool.
I know very little about Martin Luther, so
we'll
do that. I will have to do that. Yeah. Or I'll just wait for the Netflix miniseries.
Nice. There you have it. That's coming soon, I'm sure. Check this out. Where did I put it? Oh, I don't have it. Well, I'll do the digital version. Hey, you guys, check it out. Vegas is coming. Did you know in April we're doing TMS Vegas? You knew that. I know that. Brian knows that. But did you know that? The good news is you can get tickets now. We put them up. So if you want to get a hold of either swag only, let's say you can't come to Vegas, but you want whatever cool swag we give you, there's an option for that. Or there's a full ticket option, which lets you come to the show as well as get the swag. And they're both up there and posted on the Frog Pants store and directly linked at vivatmsvegas.com. So go there and sign up. Brian, isn't that exciting? It's exciting.
That is very exciting. Yes, you do need a ticket to go to the show.
Yes, if you want to be there, you need ticket. Please have ticket.
Please have ticket.
It's the cheapest thing you'll ever buy that's related to Vegas. I promise you that.
That's so true.
All right? There are going to be lunches you'll pay more for than this ticket. So get it and be there because we can't wait to see you. The last week of April, all the details are up there, including what we have planned so far with more to come. So go check it out.
And more stuff. You pointed to your site or did you point to the store, right?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. You also can go to Viva TMS Vegas and that's where there's...
No, that's the one I sent them to. That's the address.
Oh, okay. I thought you sent them to the store.
No.
Gotcha.
No, either one. But yeah, it doesn't matter which one you go to. It'll be the same destination, but we'd prefer you go to vivatmsvegas.com if you can. Because Brian's got other stuff up there. That, you know.
There's a little bit of other stuff, but
yeah.
It's really a full motion video, an FMV as the kids call it, of hovering over Vegas with lots of casinos in there that aren't around anymore, I think.
Nope. It's all right, though. That also is a hole I went down the other day. I was looking at old Vegas stuff for some reason and shared a picture with Brian that was these old slot machines that were basically just dudes. Let me pull this up for the chat so I can see it. Here it is. So I don't know why these are so weird to me, but they're weird to me. Here you go.
I love it. Okay.
So these guys are, Brian pointed out, they're not one-armed bandits. They have two arms, which is a good point.
That's right.
But look at that, man.
Which one do I pull?
I think the 60s was cool. That was a cool era for Vegas. Yeah. Look at all weird stuff they used to have. I love it. Anyway, that might be a hint as to some artwork I'm doing for
Oh, really? Oh,
swag. Awesome. Yeah. It may not be obvious until I do it, but you'll see. Anyway, that's all coming up, so watch for that. Again, that's vivatmsvegas.com.
Yes.
All right, I have a question.
Ask away.
Yesterday, Kim was gone, didn't have a car, and turns out the fridge was kind of void. There wasn't a lot to
eat. The cupboard was bare, as the nursery rhyme goes.
That's right. And I was a little frustrated. And I was like, well, what if I ordered food in? I don't like doing it now because it costs so much. They keep adding fees, you know.
Of course they do.
Gets more and more expensive as time goes on. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. So I got food from DoorDash. And the DoorDash guy shows up. Or I hear the doorbell ding dong. And I run up there to get it. Mm-hmm. And I open the door and I reach down to grab my stuff. And I see that that person is still walking toward his car to leave. And when that happens, I usually like, hey, thanks a lot. And I'll wave and say thanks, right?
Yeah.
Did that. And this guy turned around, didn't wave, and just went like that. Or more of
but
like
not
a
with
more
his
of
mouth.
Like, a, like that. No, with his mouth. With his freaking
mouth. Oh, with
mouth.
His mouth. Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Not with his butt. Okay.
No. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to hear it because he was like, I don't know, 20 feet away from me, but he just.
Oh,
he
I've
just,
had some that you could hear.
He just did a full on raspberry.
Really?
And I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. He just got in his car and left. So I don't know what that's about. I didn't know him. It's not like I knew this guy. He just, and the food was fine. I was like a little nervous after. I was like, wait, right? Is this weird? Yeah. I looked at all. It was all fine. But why would you do that?
I don't know. That's really weird. Like not even a,
it's like,
not even a wave or anything to go along with it. Just turn around, look at you, raspberry, and then to the car.
Maybe he had a busy morning already and was tired, and I can't explain.
Well, he was trying to do the but he came out as or even more farty sounding than that.
Maybe that's what he, yeah, maybe he was just like, oh, I'm tired.
That's a stretch.
But he went like, all right, dude, I gave you a tip. Are you just gonna make a fart sound at me? That's terrible. It's a horrible reverse tip.
Could have been mute. Maybe.
Maybe.
You know, that's something that...
This is how he communicates, you think?
Harpo Marx would have done back in the day to get Groucho's attention.
Look, I don't want to judge people's communication methods, but this guy seemed lacking. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, if anyone else experiences that, let me know. Also, like, what is it even? What am I even supposed to do with it? I just have to live my life now, knowing that it happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's not something you want to go on to the DoorDash app and say... delivery was fine, except my driver raspberried me.
Mm-hmm. I didn't order raspberries with my meal, yet I got one. Wonder what they'd say. Also, I had another weird, dream, and you happened to be in it, so I think this is good for us to mention here on the show.
Oh God, okay.
I didn't write it in here because I wrote all this last night. This dream was from this morning, or sure, I guess overnight. Sure. I had a dream that was really odd. I figured out somehow through. I don't know. I've fooled physics, but I basically created a scientific experiment that worked. And the goal was that I wanted to have, and I told Carter about this, I wanted to have a big silver ball, solid, not silver, it could be anything, just solid metal ball, perfectly smooth and round, about the size of a little smaller than a bowling ball. Okay. So not too big, but not too small. Bigger than bigger than the biggest fruit you could buy, but smaller than a bowling ball. Kind of like in that range.
I mean, watermelons are pretty big. So.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, this is about half size of a watermelon.
Like somewhere between a cantaloupe and a bowling ball.
You know what? Let's go cantaloupe. Actually, that's perfect
size. Let's go cantaloupe. All right.
Let's go cantaloupe without the smell and the thumping and all that.
Sure.
Those always smell to me. I can smell them a mile away. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I get this ball, and I figured out how to suspend it 4 or 5 feet above the ground. And have it stay there. But here's the problem. Okay. In my Michael Bay kind of dream, my goal was just to have it be there and always hover there, and everybody would always be amazed by it, and they would put their hands under it and go, whoa, there's nothing holding it up. How is this working? And here's the problem I didn't account for. The Earth is constantly rotating, right?
Right.
But the way I did the technology, apparently, the ball doesn't rotate with the Earth. It stays
so it
there.
Stays in one place.
Yeah. And it very rapidly
gets in the way of that ball.
Exactly. So it very rapidly destroyed buildings, people, structures, mountains, Like anything that got within its path during rotation, which was very fast because the Earth is going, I don't know what the speed is. How fast does the Earth rotate or how fast does stuff rotate? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know the math. But this thing just started going, and it's immovable and nothing can break it or stop it. The army tried to like scooch in. They tried to scooch in with some tanks and stuff. And it just tore through those tanks, just ripped them to shreds. No barrier would work. And by the end of the dream, what happened is the way humanity got along after that. And this may not even be around some true physics here, but the way the humanity moved on from my mistake was that path of destruction just became that path and everyone avoided that.
It was
path.
Just a, like, you just don't put anything like little crossing signs, crossing guards and stuff like, oh, don't where the ball's coming. Everybody stopped.
Basically. And they you couldn't cross it. Or if you did, you had to be really careful because it would make a rotation like very quickly. I can't remember what it was, but it was like it wasn't 24 hours. It was like,
oh,
faster than that. Again, the physics of this all wrong. And there's no way any of this was right. But in my head, this is how it played out. And there was just this big groove in the earth that became permanent and part of everyone's lives and became the most famous scientific mistake ever. Like I would, when I die, I didn't die in the dream, but in the dream, it was clear to me that when I died, I would always be remembered for this thing that was permanent. And there was no way you could not know this ball was there.
Your name and the giant ball canyon will forever be uttered in the same sentence.
That's right. That's right. And maybe they'll put up a memorial of some sort or a tube or a way to protect people from getting... Like, that's what I was thinking about, is you just build like a little dome around it.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Right.
But isn't there a slight axis change in another direction as well? So this thing could, in theory, change... You know what I'm saying? Could. Like, it would start... Yeah. It would start, like... Maybe slowly, but it would start cutting like a bigger swath.
Start heading towards magnetic north or something. Instead of
something like that. I don't know. Like that. Yeah, I have no idea. But when I woke up, I went, "Well, I am really sorry I did that. Like, I was sad that I had done that."
Yeah.
Even though it seemed really cool.
Like, that would make a great, like Black Mirror episode or like low budget sci-fi, like Primer kind of thing.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, I'd watch that movie.
I would totally watch that
movie. And I would take whatever royalties they want to give me for the cool idea.
With a ball that can't be stopped.
I also have a lovely email here today.
Cool.
From MS. We'll say that's Mississippi because I don't know what it means.
Yeah. We got a text and an email.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot. We have two of these. So these are about, this is all about the shingles. We got a lot more than this. I just wanted to narrow it down to two. First one is from a no-namer, somebody we don't know, who says, the subject was shingles. It says, I had shingles before. It was rather uncomfortable. The weirdest thing was that I got them in my early 30s, which my doctor didn't believe until he saw it. Life can be full of surprises. Yeah, my sister-in-law got it when she was 36.
Oh, wow.
You can get them younger. It's just most people get them over 50. Mm-hmm. And so you want to get that. You want to get that
great shot that everybody's looking forward to.
Oh, it's so much fun, Brian. Shots. Yeah, it only wrecked my entire weekend last weekend. It was fine.
Yeah.
It only destroyed it entirely.
Wrecked because of that thing.
Yeah, F that thing. I hated it, but I'll take it over the real thing, I guess. The follow-up email from MS says, Scott, since everyone's sharing their lovely experiences with shingles, let me try and one-up everyone so far. I'm in my mid-40s, and I had shingles in my early 30s. Oh, on my head, he says.
Oh, my God.
Also common, I guess. Kim's sister's was all up in her hairline up here. Anyway, it says it was the literal worst pain I've ever experienced. I was convinced I wouldn't need the pain meds my doc prescribed, but within the first day of full pain, I relented and fulfilled the subscription to pills. That's funny, which made things mildly better. No migraine that I've ever had.
Yeah.
Has come close to what I experienced with shingles. To top it off, my oldest son, who was a toddler at the time, was too young to be vaccinated for chicken pox. I had to stay away from the little guy for fear that I would pass it to him. I'm now biding my time until I'm 50 so I can get the shot without paying the ridiculous costs for us youngsters. Thanks for reading, MS. Yeah, dude, don't get it. You don't want it.
No kidding.
You don't want the shingles. You don't want it. It sounds bad. And these are, I always, you know, I've only heard about the head ones, but I know there's worse ones. Like, you can get stuff that just feels like your entire inside is on fire. Mm-hmm. you don't want it. You don't want
Jeez.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, so. With the L4, L5 lumbar pain that I'm still trying to recover from, when I'm doing my stretches, which now I have to do like once or twice a day, well, twice or two or three times a day, really, it feels like my right knee is on fire. Like, that is not an exaggeration. It feels like somebody is putting a lit torch to my knee.
Ooh, dang. And they said they're sure that's still tied to the lumbar stuff and not like a knee thing? There.
Yeah.
Wow, that's the worst, because that's a nerve like wrapped around all in there.
It is,
right?
Exactly. That's what controls that, is the L4, L5, like a nerve that comes down and wraps around your knee right there.
Ouch. That's no fun.
Yeah, I think I might. We'll see if things are still bad in a couple days and don't get better with the stretching. I think it might be time for an MRI just to be safe.
Yeah, wouldn't hurt probably. Well, it may hurt.
It may hurt, but it'll hurt far less. But it will stop hurting sooner, maybe.
Are they?
This thing is killing my sleep. Like, I cannot.
Oh, that was gonna be my next question. Is like, how much sleep can you possibly get? I know you already don't sleep the best, but
I don't. And this is really what makes it worse. Is trying to find a position that I can lay down for a long period of time. I can't lay on my right side anymore at all, because that's the side that hurts. So. Mm.
Do you flip around like I do? I flip around all night.
I do, yeah.
See, that's a problem. Yeah. That ain't going to go well.
That is a problem, yeah.
Oh, so that sucks, dude.
I have to sleep on my left side the whole night until I wake up, and then I move over to the couch where I can put my left foot up and hang my right foot down, because that's the only position I can be in where it doesn't hurt.
Well, maybe you could switch to Dr. Nick Riviera, where you can get a arm for a leg. Arm for a leg and a leg for an arm, or whatever it is he used to do. We'd swap them.
That's right.
There you go. Brian will walk around on a hand.
Sure, there you go.
Problem solved. All fixed.
Problem solved. I think my legs will still be moving and bending, and I can't imagine that's going to be great for my lumbar to be walking with my hands with my head constantly looking to see where I'm going.
Yeah, probably a bad idea. But hopefully they can get you all fixed up before spring and stuff. You don't want to be limping around Vegas like that. That would suck.
Oh God, no.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Not to mention like MS-150 and other summer fun things. I gotta be good for all that.
Gotta be good for the summer fun.
That's right.
Woo! I like the summer fun. Bring it on. If you'd like to send us your emails and you got thoughts about anything, doesn't have to be shingles related, but whatever, you can send those into themorningstream@gmail.com, or you can send us text at 801-471-0462. Or you can make those voicemails as well if you just stay on the line and say hello. All right, that's it for all that. We got some big stuff coming up later in the show, but right now it's time for the news.
I don't watch the news.
The news is brought to you by
Cracking Crowns on Soft Bread.
Oh, the other thing I did this weekend. So I got this crown down here. It was just chewing some bread. Not a big deal. All of a sudden, I feel this little... And went and looked in the mirror, and sure enough, got a nice little hairline crack down there. So now I got to go into the old dental office and do some
bullshit.
What
are they making those things out of? Shouldn't those be...
Well, I've had this one for... This is a different one, the one that always breaks. This one's probably 4 years old. So
yeah, but I mean, 4 years old. I don't know how long those things are supposed to last, but... Seems like it should be longer than that.
Depends on the tooth. Like I have one up here, a bridge up here that I've had since I was 20. Never a single issue. I think it's kind of where you chew the most, and I chew a lot back here. So I think that was probably it. Plus I have a gold thing up above that, and I think that thing is impervious.
Press down hard on it.
So all it takes is like the right pressure and bam. My teeth suck.
We should stop making his crowns out of English shortbread.
I mean, that thing, the other times I've had this happen, it always does seem to happen with something soft. I mean, it used to be when I was eating Swedish fish back in the 2012, 2013 era, and I pulled that thing out. That made sense, because that was like gooey and whatever. But a little bit of bread, come on, man. Come on. And it was right after we did Couch Party. I was so pissed. Super mad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as soon as we were done, I went and ate, and I was like, damn it. Anyway, that's how that went. I'll let you know how it goes. But, the funny thing is it doesn't hurt at all. They have enough cement on this thing where I barely notice it. And part of me is like, it's just, who cares? Maybe just let it be there the way it is.
You don't want that hairline crack to get bigger, food to get in there and cause some major problems.
That's true. I don't want any of that. Yeah. I don't want any of that. But I may actually, given the where this one is, I don't even have a matching tooth on the other side. They should just yank this one.
For symmetry?
Yeah, because already it's going to cost me like $850 to get a new crown. Uh-huh. Or like $200 to pull it. And there's nothing about that tooth that's cool. It's just a piece of crap.
Well, you said that's the side of your mouth that you chew on, though.
So I chew on both. Like I chew on both. It's just that I probably favor this side, if I'm honest. But I can chew on both, no problem. So I say get rid. I think I'm going to get rid of it. Then I'll match. I'll have a perfectly matching thing. I don't need those rear molars.
That should not feel important to you. Like Wes Anderson in your dental structure should not be an important factor.
No, it's not really, actually. But I don't know. I just don't want to pay. I don't want to keep paying for this thing every 4 years. I hate it. Like, is it just another bill I should account for and just say, okay, well, I guess I pay $850 per 4 years.
You've got a dentist subscription, basically.
Yeah. Which kind of was what I have. I don't have, my insurance sucks, so I have a separate thing with the dentist, which I already pay. I don't know what I pay a year, but, you know, I already pay for individual insurance over there. I don't know. I hate teeth. Teeth are stupid. Mm. Look, when I'm in charge and I got my own universe, here's what I'm going to do. No teeth. Okay. We're going to have bones straight out of there that don't have nerves in the middle of them. Just big, nasty bones like some of the animal kingdom have. I just want bones there for teeth. Don't care how bad it looks. It won't matter. We'll all look the same. It's fine. So that's what I'm doing. Number one. Number two, we don't need pinkies. Get rid of the pinkies. No more pinkies. It's an extra finger. We don't need it.
You don't want evolution to take care of that. You just want to like cut them off at birth or something?
Yeah, I want to design it. I want to be like a Star Trek Overlord Planet Runner guy. Who makes up all this stuff. I do the Genesis machine, and now I get to pick what I want. So I did all that, and then I'm going to... no more vomiting. That's going away. We're done with that. We'll come up with a better thing. Okay. I don't know what it is, but some other way of expelling things that isn't that. That's horrible.
You're going to have to create a new hole, because we've already got diarrhea.
Yeah, we got the diarrhea.
If you want an alternative to vomit, you're going to need a new hole.
All right, I got a plan for that. Diarrhea will come out of a little, like Spider-Man, you know, let's not talk about the good Spider-Man, but the bad Spider-Man where he has organic web shooters.
Sure, sure.
Where that little hole would be on this wrist, that's where you're going to take a dump. And on this wrist, everyone will be right-handed, first of all. On this, no, there's nothing wrong with lefties, I'm just kidding. On the right hand, because I know Brian's left-handed, I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
On the right hand is where you're going to vomit. If you need to. Okay.
All right.
But you'll still eat through your mouth and all of that'll be fine. What else? That nerve that's hurting your knee. We're not wrapping that around your knee anymore. We'll come up with a better way.
Is your aversion to throwing up because you're kind of afraid of it? Or is it just to maintain your streak?
Oh, I just hate it. I just can't stand throwing up.
But like, you feel so good after you're done. It's like, I've Control Alt deleted my stomach and it's running so much better now.
I mean, you're not wrong once you get there, but when you it's the lead up, I hate it so much. I hate it. I hate that feeling.
I don't like vomiting. I'm not saying that I like it, but it does bring you some relief at the end.
And, I mean, I've got
there have been times that I've had like a horrible stomach ache, and I've been like, oh my God, if I could just vomit and get this over with, then I'd feel so much better.
And you're not wrong. Like, I know that you're right. My wife would agree with you. She's 100% on your side of this. I just don't know what it is. I can't do it. I hate it.
Well, so it's got to be, and you know, sorry for those who are listening to this as they eat breakfast or lunch or whatever, but isn't it going to be just the same thing if it's coming out of your wrist? is it just the fact that it's passing through the mouth, the thing that you eat with?
And breathe with and all that. See, that's my whole thing.
This goes right into the whole what grosses got out the most, milk breath, like everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have too much stuff going on through our mouth. This is the truth. And so, yes, you're right. But see, the arm thing, I can go, oh, you guys, I don't feel good. Okay, we'll see you in a minute. Go out to a bush somewhere, hold my wrist over there, and just let it rip. Big deal. I can do that. But I don't have to get like full body stomach acid heaving, horrible. I can't breathe. It's coming out my nose. Like all the horribleness. F that.
Yeah.
F that. Now, I know that evolution and natural selection have solved most of our biological needs and issues. I know that. But I'm just saying, if I get to go be an architect of my own planet, I got I got ideas.
Your own species. I mean, your own version of the human race without pinkies and vomit rests.
Yeah. And think about it this way, Brian. You and I are, let's say we're in Disneyland. We're on Space Mountain.
Yeah.
And there's a guy in front of us who's like, oh, I don't feel good. This ride's making me sick. All he's got to do is hold his arm off to the side, down to the thing. Instead of going, Brett, have it land on everybody. Just use
his arm.
Do
you think it's going to happen in front of his wrist? Do you think it's just going to go to a spot of the ride that doesn't have another roller coaster going through?
Well, I don't know about those people. They may be screwed, but you and I in the back seat, we're all right.
What if we're not in the car with him, but we're on that other roller coaster that's down below?
Well, then that's still a problem. I agree with that. But I think it at least solves half the issue.
And then they're touching stuff with their vomit hand. Like, oh, I just threw up into that bush with my hand, and now I've got to touch the door to get back into the restaurant to go to the bathroom to wash my hands.
Well, this is why it will always be just right hand. So that your left hand can do all the work until you're cleaned up. And then same goes for this end. If you got a problem on this end, you got your right hand to cover everything else. You see?
Sure.
And then your right hand would also toot. Or sorry, your left hand. So this is still your bum over here. So you'd get on a plane and you'd have to tuck it in your pocket real tight and go, oh man, I hope nobody can tell I'm over here farting out of my wrist. You know, I got it all figured out. It's all good. It's all set. There's nowhere to sign up for this. I'm just saying if somehow cosmically after we die, we end up, getting somebody says, all right, we need to run about 8 more planets. Johnson, come here. We like your idea about the wrist. The wrist thing. Get in here. Then I'll let you guys can all sign up and be on my world.
We're working on blueprints for Earth 2.0.
Yep. Very excited. All right. Let's get to this story about Denmark. Denmark, that's a place. That's a thing.
It's a country. Yes.
Yeah. It's a full of nice people.
Lovely country.
Yeah. I'm sure they're wonderful there. We have some listeners there. I've seen the numbers.
Copenhagen.
That's right. Well, there wasn't a single bank robbery in all of Denmark last year. Not one.
Wow.
Yeah, no other country can boast this. Every country in the world had a bank robbery except for Denmark. The number of bank robberies in Denmark fell to zero as beefed up security and reduced use of cash in the Nordic country make holdups less lucrative. I always wondered about this as money becomes more digital. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost entirely that now. Mm-hmm. You can still have cash and stuff, but the other day we were walking. If we go across the lake, there's a specialty store way on the other side where, Carter loves the coffee there and they have little food things and all this kind of stuff. So we thought, let's walk all the way over there. It's a good half hour hard walk and then we'll get something. Then we'll walk all the way back. It'll be that day's cardio or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we did that and we got there and Kim goes, I didn't bring my wallet. Did you bring your wallet? I'm like, oh shoot. I didn't bring my wallet. But then it hit us. We have our phones.
Yeah,
we got a way to pay. It's fine.
I use that tap to pay all the time now. I'm having a blast with it.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great.
Yeah.
Easy to forget, though. If you forgot your wallet, you're like, oh, shit, I forgot the thing. But then you realize, oh, no, we live in 2023. We can do this now. So anyway, I think that's an interesting side effect of currency becoming so digital is that we are less. Maybe there are less motivations and or opportunities to go rob a bank and walk out with a ton of cash.
Mm-hmm. I
could be wrong, but anyway, they've declined steadily since the year 2000, where 221 bank robberies happened in Denmark, one for nearly every day that the branches were open in that country. But in 2021, they had one. And according to the same industry group that tracks that stuff, 2022 had none.
Zero. And they've got I was looking at their population, a little 5.5 million, basically, which is somewhere between Los Angeles and New York.
Yeah, it's small.
It is small, but that's still considerable.
Sure.
They're if you just said, all right, just New York City or just Los Angeles, you'd have multiple bank robberies over a year. So you can't really blame it on just the population.
I had somebody yesterday in an email trying to convince me. I don't have it handy or I'd pull it up. Trying to convince me that China is communist and dictatorial and kind of hardcore shut everybody down if we don't like what they're saying kind of country. That they're that way, not because out of pure need and necessity, because of the sheer size of the population of China. So when you've got over a billion people versus here where we've got, what, 400 million, 350 million, whatever we are now, that they're that is such a vastly larger thing that they have no choice but to be blunt hammers all the time. They have, that's the only way they can manage a country with that many people. I think he's wrong, but that's what this guy says.
That's,
and that seems really dumb to me. Like, the question, I mean, first of all, I did reply and say, well, why? Like, just give me your all your, and he hasn't replied yet, but he sent this, sent this whole list of like, that's just too, it's a problem of scale. So it's the same reason that America is definitely going to have bank robberies and Denmark won't. Well, is it a scale thing? Because they only have 5 million and it's just a, and we have 300 plus or 400 million.
Yeah.
Is that a scale thing? And so therefore, is China a scale thing on the larger end where they're just like, everything has to be smushed down real hard and real big or else there's no other way to manage a billion people? I don't know.
I don't know either. It does seem very reductive there. Like, seems like it's trying to take a complex thing and make it and oversimplify it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That was the impression I got from it.
And incorrectly,
you know,
too.
Yeah, especially some guy from Missouri. Like, what does he know? Nothing wrong with Missouri. We love it. I'm just saying, like, you know, you're not, you know, are you some China expert? Are you a 30-year veteran of intellectual thought on how China works? No, he's just a guy from Missouri.
Well, I mean, what state would you, if he was from, would you start to take him seriously?
No. I'm saying he's literally from Missouri, his email said, and I'm saying he has no other credentials. So it could have been here. It could have been anywhere. I'm just saying, a guy from Missouri is
just
saying,
a guy from Missouri. In other words, just a guy, right?
Just a guy,
not
exactly.
Not a PhD. No PhD after his name. Just from Missouri. Is interesting.
And okay, probably has never been to China, if I had to guess. I could be wrong, but if that dude's listening, I don't think he listens to the show. I think he's a core guy. But if you're listening, send it in, because we were talking about China and the way they handle video game approvals, and it's a big mess right now. So they're trying to like blanket ban certain kinds of games. They're slow to approve new games. So it's making American companies who were invested a lot to be in China, now they're having to rethink that, and you know, because the government's
China
making it hard.
Just had the first year where the population went down this last year.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
How much down?
It was only like a couple thousand or something. It wasn't. I don't think it was a huge number. Let's see.
5 people, says Tom's Norm. I can't be right. I don't think they track it if it was 5 people.
Yeah, China's population shrinking for the first time in 60 years. This is a big long article. I don't know what that number is.
Gotta have more words in it because you got all those people over there. More words, more people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, more words and ads loading and, you know, this is your last BBC article or something like that. Let's see.
They do have a lot of unreported death from COVID. I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
It might have, yeah, because of, let's see here.
Every time they've had an outbreak, it's like really bad.
Yeah, the birth fertility rate, births per woman, was 2.6 in the late 1980s, and it's reduced to 1.15 in 2021.
Per female, per lady?
Yes, total fertility births per woman, 1.15.
Didn't they control that for a while where they were like, if you have a dude, we're cool with it, but if you have two girls, you're done. Stop making babies or something.
Something like that. They had the one-child policy, yeah.
Yeah.
But they introduced a three-child policy last year.
That might be biting them in the butt now.
Maybe it is, yeah. Don't know.
Hmm. Well, all right. Good luck, China.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll be fine.
I'm sure they'll be just fine.
I think they'll still be huge and enormous. Well, anyway, good job, Denmark, and may your crime-free spree continue. Speaking of crime, let's do this the opposite. This is in Britain. A delivery driver in Britain stole $14,000 worth of booze in a sophisticated scam, which they put in quotes.
They took Denmark's robbery and put it in UK.
Oh, yeah, easily. I mean, the British were just sitting there waiting for it. Says a British delivery driver stole over 20,000 pounds. That's about $24,360 worth of goods, including £12,000 or $14,000 of wine and spirits that he had he was supposed to deliver to businesses, according to the Birmingham Mail, which I guess is a paper.
It is.
The thief, former soldier Paul McGauley, almost said McCartney.
Careful. Let's not.
Don't want to be smirch former Beatles. Paul. Yeah. We only got two left. We got to be nice to those guys. Let's see. He was employed by an agency to work for a logistics company called ICT Express. Age 50, was supposed to deliver the goods to customers. Instead, made an unscheduled stop during his delivery and forged signatures in an attempt to cover his tracks.
Wow.
They were supposed to go to all these department stores, and he made these unscheduled stops.
Interesting. Yeah. So I was wondering how sophisticated, because sophisticated is in quotes. So I'm wondering if that's, it wasn't really sophisticated, or if that's just what the news reported as sophisticated. Is it eight episodes on Netflix sophisticated, or is it like four episodes sophisticated?
Is it one 90-minute documentary? It's hard to say, but from what it sounds like here, it just was planned, but I don't know how sophisticated it is.
Yeah. I think Bobby in chat said that he started watching Kaleidoscope, which is a sophisticated scam robbery.
What do you think of that, Bobby?
He's liking it so far. Is he?
I've yet to talk to someone personally, like you and others, who didn't like it, and then all this weird critic and public freak out about it. I don't understand why the disparity. It's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Kaleidoscope is it's an odd divider.
It is. And there's nothing, like, sometimes you can say, oh, it's, you know, they tried to force a transgender character in there, or they tried to make a subplot about social commentary or something like that. But none of that. Like, you know, it's there's nothing that I could see that would be controversial to somebody who's more conservative.
Yeah.
That would, you know, warrant, oh, well, let's everybody review bomb this thing. So.
Yeah. So it's not, so lefties like it, righties like, or sorry, lefties and righties like dislike it equally.
Right, exactly. Or some of the ones that we talk to who like it.
Who equally. Like it. Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah. Wabbit Magic liked it. Yeah.
Huh. All right. I definitely plan on seeing it. It's just.
Yeah.
One of those things where I cannot figure it out.
I might be able to talk one person in our audience into seeing it if I say there is no Bollywood-style dancing involved.
I'll bet that guy is now on his way to his TV.
On board, fully on board.
Yeah, yes. He just left his day job, said he was sick, went home, and is now watching Kaleidoscope.
He's now binging it. Yep,
yeah, that's what he'll do. Let's move on.
I kind of like that we have a new free hotel room because I was missing the old one.
I know. What happened? Where is he these days?
I don't know.
I hope he's all right. We haven't heard from him for a year.
It's been a long time, yeah.
Or something. Yeah. Free hotel Hopefully room. Are you still? If you're out there, let us know. We'd like to know. Yeah. Bob. I mean, Brian knows he's really had dinner or lunch with him.
Yeah. I've met the guy. He's actually really, really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. Maybe he got he got tired of us never agreeing with his critiques.
Could be.
I don't know.
Totally could be, yes.
I'm curious about it. If anyone else out there knows him or hangs out with him or has talked to him online, let us know. I like Bob. I liked his, you know, we get diced tomatoed occasionally, but Bob was a special breed.
Bob was a special breed. Bob, because of the extra things that Bob would put into his messages, like he'd correct us on the pronunciation of something and then he'd go, come on, or Jesus Christ or something like that.
Yeah.
That's always.
And gave us, they're right in the chat. They used to give me lots of ideas for Fred and Can jokes. I never used any of them, but I think he was a fan.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I just would like to hear from him. So, Bob, if you're still out there and you've just gone quiet, you know, just give us a well check, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Make sure you're okay.
Hey.
Yeah.
Fine. Hey, man. The hotel room's still free.
Yeah. I'm here.
I just don't get to make it into chat anymore.
Let's see. Here's a fun one. Foodies, you're kind of a foodie, so you count here.
I'm kind of a foodie, yes.
We're left devastated that Ronzoni will discontinue its beloved star-shaped pastina.
Oh,
Brian, what are you going to do now? How are you going to do it?
I mean, don't foodies prefer handmade pasta?
I don't know. I would assume
Ronzoni,
so, yeah.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know. Is Ronzoni one that you...
I have no idea. It sounds like a cheap name, doesn't
it? Oil kind of thing. Yeah, it's...
I know they're pre-made, but
its pasta comes in a box instead of in a bag.
Let's see. They announced the company is discontinuing its Pastina project, or product rather, a tiny star-shaped pasta. They are a subsidiary
Pastina of project.
They're a subsidiary of Post Holdings. Is that the Post cereal people?
I bet it is. I'll bet this is a Post.
Post Holdings. Interesting.
Post Holdings, because that holding says company. Delicious. Nothing says delicious like Post Holdings.
Yeah. I wish there was a cereal called Post Holdings. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I don't think that exists. Anyway, some may see it as a tragic announcement that they put on Instagram. We hear you and greatly appreciate your love for the Rizzoni Pastina, wrote the company in the post. After extensive efforts, we regretfully announced that the pasta in question is being discontinued. This wasn't a decision we wanted to make. Well, then don't make it.
We were hoping it wouldn't have to come to this.
Yeah, it's all come down to this. No more pasta shaped like stars.
I'm scrolling through. I'm trying to see. I mean, I found the past. So it's really little teeny tiny stars. Mm-hmm. They're like.
I don't think I've ever had it. It's not familiar to me at all.
I don't think I have either. What about those wagon wheel looking things? That's what I'm looking here to see. I think those must have already gotten discontinued because I am not seeing the little wagon wheels.
Oh, I kind of liked those.
Yeah.
So I could see why people who are into the stars would be sad.
They held sauce pretty well.
Yeah, good little sauce physics in those.
Yeah.
Also, I just like tiny. I like little pasta, with the exception of SpaghettiOs or something. Oh, I like tiny little pastas versus like big old shell ones. I'm not a fan. Too much.
What's your? Do you have a favorite? A favorite pasta shape?
Oh. Well, you mentioned the wagon wheels. I do like those.
Little shells, like the little.
The itty bitty ones.
Little kind of folded over shells. Yeah.
Yeah, those are good. I don't like the big tube ones, like the big, I don't know what you call them.
Oh, manicotti?
Yeah, I don't think I like those. Maybe in the right stuff, I do.
Yeah.
You know?
It's usually filled with like ricotta. I'm going to channel some Randy. Oh, yeah. You fill that with a ricotta and then marinara sauce on top with some shaved Parmesan.
I've moved Catwoman.
I can't read that word. I tried to, but I
couldn't. Parmesan.
I've moved Catwoman.
Wish you had. let's see. Well, anyway, they stopped doing it. It says we've researched or searched extensively for an alternative solution because they say their long-term supplier can't do it anymore.
Oh.
It says
I imagine it's just you roll out the pasta dough and you just have a little rolling stamper that goes and makes those little star shapes.
I would think so, yeah. So according to the brand's website, the petite five-pointed stars are typically cooked in soups with cheese and eggs. One 12-ounce box used to cost you $1.69 on Stop and Shop's website. Online fans reacted with surprise and with the announcement, shock and outrage.
Of course, because it's the internet.
Yeah, it's what they do.
Oh, I can't believe you're taking away those pastinas, which I never bought once in my life, but it sucks because you're changing it.
You're changing it. It's like the taco ice cream thing last month.
Yeah.
And I think they brought him back. So then you get conspiratorial.
PR stunt that they're,
it's easy to do. Like you're, sorry, but we're dumping these. Oh, no, you freaked out. We're bringing them back. Were you really going to ever do it? Like, was this just always a plan to get more?
I read, I think it was over the holiday break, Steven Schleicher went on a Twitter rant about the Mexican pizza, the Taco Bell Mexican pizza.
Nice.
And called it the most disgusting, quote unquote, food he's ever eaten.
Really?
And why were people demanding for this thing to come back?
I like it, though.
I do, too.
I don't know why. It's like, not really great. Like, it's okay, no, but it's
a crispy flour shell instead of corn. And
it might depend a little on your Taco Bell, Steven.
It easily could. Yeah. They're less consistent Taco Bell to Taco Bell than like McDonald's is between stores.
Yeah, I agree. I've been kind of getting into Del Taco lately.
I do like the fact that we're talking about, you know, me liking a Mexican pizza in the same breath as Brian. You're a foodie, right? Yeah, I'm a foodie.
Oh yeah. Well, you're a foodie who's not pretentious. You'll eat, you know. You're that's right. You're a down to earth foodie. You'll try some interesting fancy stuff, but
exactly. Right. I have Taco Bell these days. Taco Bell maybe once a month, maybe.
Yeah,
and it's just because it's like I'm in a hurry. I've got Coverville to do. I don't have time to make anything. We're out of bags of salad. Let's just run over to Taco Bell.
Oh, I got a question for you. We went to Del Taco the other day. And this guy was helping us. He was super nice. Kim ended up tipping him like $4 because he was so nice. But We don't usually do that at a Del Taco. But yeah. We're at the drive up. We pull up there and we're just getting tacos, and he's got there's a pigment condition you can get. I forget the name of it. There's a model that has this that's like really popular.
Like
Lego? Is that what it's called? Like, where it's like big patches of white.
Jackson had with the yeah.
That stuff, whatever that is. And it's like big, big patterns and stuff. But on for him, it was from his like mid arm down to his hand. He just looked like, I don't know, almost like a leopard. Not leper. Yes,
a leper, like spots.
The beautiful, fast running animal is what I'm talking about. Yeah. And it was all up to his fingers. Now, here's the question. We didn't ask him about it. Didn't say anything. Sure, it's fine. Of course not. Yeah. But part of me, and not in a negative way, I do want to say, oh, around people like that, I want to go, oh, this, your skin is so cool. Or this is such an interesting pigmentation. Like I want to do it.
So unique. Yeah.
Right. But it's weird, right? You wouldn't want to do that to a stranger.
No.
No. Oh, okay.
No, he probably, I imagine, you know, he's spent a lot of his life with people thinking he's diseased or kids making fun of him or whatever. And
that's a good point.
He probably just wants to,
I don't want to be
not
that
have
guy.
It brought up, but I know you'd be doing it in a way that's like, oh man, that's really cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to know more about it, and I thought, well, that's the only way this works out is if I know this person,
sure,
and I've gotten to know them in a way that they are comfortable telling me things like this.
Yeah,
and we didn't have that relationship, so I didn't do it. Michael Bay in the news. Let's get to Michael Bay.
Let's get to Michael Bay.
Michael Bay really doesn't want to be called a pigeon killer, all right? He doesn't like it.
That's not what he wants his legacy to be. He'd much rather be a franchise killer.
Yeah, exactly. There's been a little bit of update to this, but this is the original story. Michael Bay determined to prove he did not or doesn't have any bird blood on his hands. Per The Wrap, which is a website, the director has been charged over claims that a pigeon was killed in 2018 on the set of the movie Six Underground. I thought that was a TV show. Oh, no, that is a movie. That's a Netflix thing. It's also
a
song.
A band, too. Or a song by Massive Attack, too.
Yeah, the...
Take it down, sticks it around. Oh, Sneaker Pimps? Sorry, it's Sneaker Pimps, not Massive Attack.
I don't think they used it in the movie. I thought 600 Gram was a fun movie. I didn't know that was Michael Bay.
I didn't know that was either.
No, it's Ryan Reynolds. I didn't know it was Michael Bay. Kim and I watched it. Anyway, wild birds, including pigeons, are protected by law in Italy. This is where they filmed it. Allegedly, a homing pigeon was killed by a dolly while the Netflix production was being filmed in Rome. Witness said to have taken a picture and reported the incident to authorities. He says, this is what Michael Bay says, I'm a well-known animal lover and major animal activist. It's true. Puts a lot of money in it.
Mm-hmm. With a bunch of explosions, too.
That's true. And he reuses footage from the last time he did it. Just kidding.
That's right.
Was that the island?
It was the island, and then Transformers reused stuff from the island. Yes.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around, but one way or the other it was some car chase thing, and they used it like frame for frame.
Exactly. nobody will notice. All car chases look the same anyway.
Yeah, that was weird. Anyway, let's see, where was I? I'm a well-known activist. No animal involved in the production was injured or harmed or any other production I've worked for in the last 30 years. He also claimed that there's clear video evidence with multiple witnesses and safety officers that disprove the allegations, adding that he is confident he will win in court. But they're taking him to court.
Wow. Seriously?
Yeah. He's going. I mean, you know, who knew that in Italy, one of the worst things you could do is kill a damn pigeon?
I'd be curious to see this, the picture that the witness claims to have of this.
Let me ask you this. If I said to you, hey, Brian, a pigeon was killed, or if I said, hey, Brian, a dove was killed, which does one have more meaning than the other for you?
Of course, the dove, even though they're basically the same bird, just with different coloring.
But, right. So I wonder if in court, the prosecution will be all, the dove is the one
we need to think of the dove.
He'll be like, I didn't kill that pigeon. Yeah, this is all about how you frame it.
That's right. The soiled dove was killed by the dolly as it...
The millionaire filmmaker said Italian authorities offered him the opportunity to settle by paying a small fine. I declined to do so because that would mean I was guilty of having harmed the animal. We suppose all that is left to do is to fight this out in court. Or court is what they wrote.
Court.
I hate that. I hate it. Do you think they're making a joke there about like birds? That's what that is?
Oh, yes.
I hate it.
I feel like so dumb because I did not. I was like, "What is that? Some weird typo?" Coort.
I mean, it does look like a typo, right? It looks like a stupid typo, but
it does. Yeah,
they put Coort.
For a whole article that didn't use any other pigeon puns.
Yeah.
To all of a sudden work one in as the last word of the thing, Coort.
I don't like it.
No.
I don't like it. Chat room likes it. I don't like it. Doesn't matter what I like. What I do like is this. We have guests on the show, and they come on here and talk about cool stuff, which we're going to do now after we take a break. When we come back, we'll make some things with Bill and hang out with Bobby and talk some science. He's not on a plane today, so that's good. Yeah. Maybe he's on a boat, and he's got his flippy floppies on. I don't know. Anyway, that's all coming up after the song that Brian prepared. Brian, what is it?
Yeah, so back in 2021, 2020, maybe even 2019, an album came out from a singer named Kendra Morris, and she was called Mockingbird, and it was and still is one of my favorite cover albums ever released. She's just got this amazing voice, and she has this funk sound that is perfectly matched with it, and she took things like Shine On You Crazy Diamond, which we've played her version on this show before, David Bowie's Space Oddity, a whole bunch of different songs that she's done on that album. So I kind of keep an eye on the things that she's released since then. Well, one thing that I missed was an album that came out before that called Babel. And Karma Chief Records is reissuing her Babel album on March 3rd with three additional tracks. So it kind of gives us all a chance to rediscover it. This is her the first single from the re-release. Just coming out today. This is brand new. Here is the song Twist and Burn from Kendra Morris.
Show. I doubt if we'll get anything out of those men we caught.
We can try. At least they're out of circulation, thanks to you.
Now you can see how important it is to guard every place where diamonds are kept.
I certainly do. We can get a line on who's after the diamonds and where they're taking them.
Do you want to see Jamie Lynn Spears dropped out of a helicopter?
The Morning Stream. I've never seen this jungle, and I've seen most.
And we're back. Hey, Brian, tell me again who that was.
Yeah, that sultry voice you just heard was Kendra Morris from the reissue, the brand new reissue of her album Babel from 2016. That's the song Twist and Burn.
Nice. Little update here.
Yes.
What was I going to tell you? I forgot. Dang it, it was cool. It was cool. It reminded me something about, was it the clip I played?
Do you want to see Jamie Lynn Spears dropped out of a helicopter?
No, that's not it. There's something reminding me.
That's from Entertainment Tonight, right? Was that from Extra?
I don't know. Someone sounds like somebody like that. I hear random things and I go, that's cool. We're putting that in the show. And then I never remember who they were. Great. But I cannot remember what it was. Mm. There was a thing I was going to say, hey, something's back, y'all. What is it? Can't remember. All right.
Eminem's back, y'all.
If I remember it, I'll spew it forth. All right.
In pog form. Yeah. If you think of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. If I think of it, then we'll all be better off. All right. Let's get let's get Bill in here. Let's get a little bit of Bill talk going. Let's see if I can find. I do have a thing I got to talk to Bill about specifically, but let's get to it.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Hey, Bill Duran, all the way from punishprops.com and the Pacific Northwest of this great nation of ours. Hello and welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hello, doing all right.
Oh, that's good.
Good.
So before we get anywhere, can we talk just a little bit about Dave the Diver? Just a little bit.
Yeah.
So Bill glommed on to the Dave the Diver thing. It's just this small indie game made by a couple of dudes.
Oh.
That I got completely hooked on. I think I recommended it to Brian last week for Steam Deck.
I bought a copy of it and it's sitting on my Steam Deck right there, and I have not played it yet. Shocker!
It is. It's fantastic. I played it a ton this weekend as well. But man, that loop is so good and kind of impressive that it works because it seems so disparate. It's like, okay, I'm over here diving for stuff, and there's some story and some RPG, but there's also I just need fish. And I need, you know, jellyfish for this sushi I want to make or whatever. And then you go back to your sushi bar and it feels like, oh, totally different game over there. Somehow it works, though.
It does. It
works really well. So I'm really glad you're enjoying that game.
Oh, I really am. And they threw the kitchen sink in. There's so many. No idea was turned down.
Yeah. They keep things keep
so
cropping up.
There's so many facets to this game.
Exactly. Every once in a while I'll go, oh, I guess I've seen everything they're going to do. Surely. Like this. Now I'm just in the routine of what they've given me, and then boom, there's some new whole new mechanic or whole new like concept or oh my gosh,
or
I broke through a theme
dream sequence.
Yeah, like it's so funky. And at the end of the day, you know, you're this dude just diving for stuff and making sushi. It's the weirdest thing and I love it. And I hope
it really is. You get to upgrade your tools and stuff. You get to, you know, dive deeper when you upgrade things and discover new stuff down in the depths.
Yeah,
new fish, new story things. It is deeply satisfying.
New ways to kill that freaking tiger shark that sucks ass. I hate that thing.
I literally sucks, right?
That's the tiger shark is the one that goes
The worst. The worst. Anyway, it's very fun. Check it out, everybody. Dave the Diver on Steam right now. It's an early access, but it feels done. There's nothing about this game that feels early to me. It feels like it's pretty polished.
It does feel done, but you will hit a point where the story literally tells you you'll have to wait till launch. So,
oh, I didn't get that far yet. That,
yeah, you might want to wait a bit if you don't want, because I'm at a point now where I need to wait for the rest of the game.
Yeah, you could go keep fishing and keep making money in the sushi place, but
yeah, I will. Yeah. I will do that.
Nothing's stopping you. All right, let's get to the creativity of the day. Bill's a big time maker, as you guys know. Punishprops.com tells you all I need to know, but as usual, we have no idea what creative thing you're working on. So tell us.
Oh yeah. Well, actually, the thing I wanted to talk the topic today. I'm surprised I haven't brought this up before. Is portfolios as an artist. Specifically artists looking for work. Portfolios are the first thing a potential hirer will see, so they're super critical, and I've got some pointers.
Nice.
First of all, like your portfolio might make depending on your field, it may take a different form, right? So if you're a videographer, it might be like a 2-minute sizzle reel where you cut together a bunch of clips that you've used on your past projects. Or a 3D modeler might have a bunch of 3D turnarounds of things they've made. If you're a YouTuber, you might have a media kit that shows off past projects and your credentials. Or like if you're a sculptor, photos of your sculptures, that sort of stuff. That's portfolios can take many, many forms.
We're in a different era now because back in the day when like Brian and I were in college, a portfolio meant a big, giant thing.
A big black zippered bag that you had all your ginormous artwork in. Yeah. I still have mine from CIA.
Mine somewhere.
Or you'd have to make slides. You'd have to make copies of slides and mail them to people.
Yeah, it was bad. Right. It's a bad time. Yeah. I mean, it was what it was, but today is so much better for this stuff. And then that includes like what you're talking about. Like back in the day, being a 3D artist of some sort, let's say a sculptor, that was always down to, well, how good are these photographs? Like, you didn't really have a great way to really show that stuff off. And now it's, you could almost do like 3D scans and send people quick files that they can rotate around. Like, it's really cool what you can do now. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. So one of the top tips I have for any artist is to maintain your own website, even if it's just for the portfolio, right? I think you should also share your work on things like Instagram or ArtStation or other places where artists share their work. But as we've learned recently, websites like ArtStation, why, they may change their policies in a way that makes doing business there needlessly difficult, right?
Yeah, it's annoying.
So being in charge of your own website means you can rely on it not changing when you need it, and you can completely customize the whole site to match your brand, right? You have a lot more options.
That's true.
So if you're an artist looking for work, having your own website that you own and control is super important. And then probably the next best thing is to figure out what your best work is and only put that in the portfolio. I think one of the hardest things for an artist to do is to cull their collection of things they've made that they're very proud of and say, this one isn't good enough for the portfolio. You know, you get so emotionally attached to the things you make. Sometimes it's hard to kill your darling, so to speak.
Is it something that just means a lot to me, or does it really show off the things that I can do, the variety of things that I can do?
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a good way of putting it. I also feel that way about stuff I'm sick of looking at, but I know will do well, and trying to determine what that is. So like there's stuff where I'll look at it today and go, ugh. And in a year I'll be like, oh, I really liked what I did then, but not at the moment, right? Mm-hmm. So to have to put that in your portfolio and push it, that always felt a little funky.
Yeah. You may have to fill your portfolio with the type of work that people are looking for right now that may not be what you're into. Good example, one of my art professors from college, Sven, who is awesome, they had an art show in the art small town of Oneonta, New York every summer, and he does these really wild prints. He was a printmaker by trade, really cool expressionist sort of things. He also took photos of cows and barns and printed those as well. Guess what sold? In a small rural town like Oneonta, New York, people go crazy for photos of cows and barns.
Pictures of cows, yeah, sure.
That's what the market wanted.
Yep. So you do it. The market wants. Yep. I get it.
Yeah.
Carter's in the middle of applying at a bunch of places. Some that are very cool. I promised her I wouldn't tell until we hear about it, because it would be weird if she doesn't get it. But anyway, these are a lot of game companies are looking for UI, UX art. That's a big. It's always been a trend in games, but right now it's like especially common to have these jobs opening because everybody needs good UI design. Anyway, she's applying for all of that stuff, and watching her go through the process of like, well, what do I include in this? Like, what of my work best exemplifies this? Like, all of those pressures are still there. I just try to convince her that it's better now than ever because she doesn't have to, you know, FedEx a big wad of original art to somebody or whatever. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. And as a video game artist too, especially if you're a junior artist, you might think, well, here are a bunch of characters that I've made, and you're probably not going to get hired making characters. It might be better to have a bunch of boxes and set pieces, right?
Yeah.
Because as a junior artist, that's probably what you're going to get hired to make for a video game. You got to fill
entry level. Yeah,
you got to fill out the Fallout universe with all sorts of detritus, right? Someone's got to make all that stuff. And
somebody's got to do a barrel. I can make a really good barrel.
Oh, I saw a thing you would love, Bill. I should have forwarded it to you, but some dude who was talking about how old Fallout 3 was. There was some anniversary.
I don't want to know.
He goes, I just wanted to share this because it seemed like a good time for it. I was a texture artist at the time, and his job was to make some of the more humanoid looking zombie dudes that run at you. I forget their names. They have names. But the way he did it is he studied meat. So he would get and take pictures of the marbled texture of like ribeye steaks and stuff. And then he would apply that knowledge to what he would create. And then he would cover these zombies in basically meat patterns. It was great. It's so much fun to see.
Cool.
Yeah, wow. I love that kind of thing. Anyway, reminded me of that.
Something you can do when you are putting together your portfolio, hopefully you have a lot of things to pick from. You might want to put a dozen or so things in there, probably not more than 20. The person looking at your artwork isn't going to want to look at a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Something you can do to help cull the list, though, is to go to other creative professionals you know and ask them for their feedback. People that you trust, whose opinion you trust, obviously. if you're looking for a way to sort of shorten the list of things to apply. The other thing, too, is if you're applying for a specific job, you might customize your portfolio to show things that would be more a better example of how you would be a good fit for that job. So you may have, let's say I have 50 pieces to pick from. I'll pick the 10 best that best show how to make, detritus in a post-apocalyptic game.
Sure. I love the word. Detritus is a fun word, isn't it?
It's a good word.
Yeah.
It's also so much easier than before, where you can easily like swap out and show the pieces that are relevant to the job you're applying for than, here's a drawing I did in my life studies class of a nude person, but I guess that won't apply to this brochure you're hiring me to make.
Yep.
Cool. Well, that's great.
A couple more other things to include.
Sure.
So if you've ever collaborated with other artists or companies, that's a really good thing for a hiring manager to know, especially if you've worked for other companies. That's that's a good thing to point out. I've been hired before. And where applicable, give a rough idea of how long each piece took to create. So, for example, if you're a sculptor, let's say you're getting hired, you want to get hired by Immortal Mask to sculpt faces for the mask that they make. They want to know how long it takes you to sculpt a head. Because if it takes you a week to do it, and the other guy can do the similar work in a day, he's going to get hired.
Good point.
So if you can provide that information, that can be super valuable.
Yeah.
And then the portfolio itself, we talked about customizing your website, but let's say you do hand a physical portfolio to someone. A friend of mine applied to work at Weta Workshop, and he literally made his physical portfolio, like the book. He made and bound a book from scratch, using skills that are valuable to Weta, things like metal woodworking, leather work. And then the book itself was full of really amazing photos that he took of his costume work, metal armor, sword making, and his photography skills.
That's cool.
These are all things that he does at Weta now. Now he's the assistant sword maker under Peter Lyons, which is kind of bananas. Peter Lyons, the guy that made all the swords for Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, they need a photographer. So he jumps in. He's got all the gear. He knows what to do. He can even, because he has all the gear, Weta rents his gear from him while he uses it. So he gets paid extra to do that. But that story of him handing that physical portfolio to Richard Taylor, it's one of my favorite stories ever. It was like, how do you say no to that? Everyone else is giving you a business card or linking you to a website, and he handed them a book he made from scratch.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's the other thing these changes give an opportunity for is for people to show how serious they are by like doing it the old way. But it's hard to explain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Specifically skills that Weta uses.
You know? Yeah, that's true. I was going to say something about Weta. I just heard the other day and I forgot what it was. There was something rad. I can't remember anything today. There's like three things that popped into my head and then left immediately. What does that mean? All right. Anyway, that's fantastic. Work on your portfolio, everybody. However it looks. Digital, yeah. Physical, whatever.
And it's something that should be updated frequently, especially if you're not just when you're looking for work. As I look at the portfolio section on my website and how pitiful it is, I'm like,
I know, right? I do that.
I'm
not
looking for work right now.
I don't know anyone who's ever like, I'm 100% happy with my portfolio right now. I think it's like kind of an impossible task. However, there's a lot you can do to sort of, in fact, the more you worry about it, probably the better it is. So just keep worrying about it and keep working on it, you know, add stuff here and there. And sometimes it's just as simple as, you know, put a thing in a folder and say, this folder is where I'm dumping stuff right now, but later I'm going to go through these and I'm going to organize it. And, you know, like just be thinking about putting that stuff together. Mm-hmm. Even if you think you're never changing jobs, you might. Bill, that's awesome. As always, you've got a little bonus link for us today.
I do. My friend Laura over in Germany is building another tiny house. She got a circus trailer, this giant trailer on wheels that you would drag around circus equipment. And she's converting it into a tiny house. And it's quite the adventure.
Oh, my Lord.
I love the thumbnail art is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
We've had her. We've talked about her before. She's awesome. She's really great. Oh, look at this old thing. Oh, my gosh, dude. What a job. That looks like a nightmare. But, of course, she's awesome and probably doesn't.
Murder was definitely committed in that trailer.
Yeah. What do you do with the bodies and DNA that were in there before, I wonder? Also, don't you want this shop every time you see it?
It's so charming and full of amazing stuff.
I want it. I want it just to have it. I don't know what I'd do in there, but anyway. Go check that out. That's Lara Kampf. You can find her on YouTube as well as punishprops.com on YouTube and the .com I just mentioned. Bill, it's always good having you on. Have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next week.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye, Bill.
See you, Bill. Oh, yeah, man. Make sure I add that to Quick TMS.
How do I remove him? There we go. All right. There it is. That's that. Time for some science. Okay?
Okay.
If you were like, wait, confirm new group. This is a new thing. Okay. Discord added a feature that I was not aware of. All right.
Did you say new groove or new group?
New group. It asked for group. A, whoops,
wrong button. The Emperor's new groove? What?
The Emperor's new group.
Science.
It's science, that's right. And it's with Bobby Frankenberger, who is... Oh, his hair is down today.
Ooh.
Look at this, you guys. We don't normally get this. It was up last time, Bobby.
Yeah, it depends on if I'm in, you know, working mode or not.
What would it take for you to cut that off? Would it be a real drastic thing, or would you be willing to do it for less?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't had it for that long.
Yeah, donate it to science. That's a good idea. What do you think of that?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Hair studies.
Yeah, hair studies with Bobby. No, for real though, there's some alopecia person sitting around going, man, I could go for some black, curly, luscious hair. You know?
Yeah, I don't need this hair that bad. If someone needs it more than me, they can have it.
All right. I'll miss it.
Don't be looking at me. I know. I see where you're going.
I'm going to.
Well, I need it more than you. See, that's.
You
that's
definitely
what I'm
need
saying.
It more than me.
Yeah. Although I would not mind seeing Brian in that wig just for the heck of it. Somebody want to Photoshop that business? All right. Let us know. Bobby, it's always good to have you here. Let's get into whatever you've brought today from some science. You're an actual science podcaster, so you probably have some scientific knowledge to shed today. What do you got?
I'm not an actual scientist, but I am an actual science podcaster.
Nice.
What makes a scientist, really? If I'm doing science, doesn't that make me a scientist?
I think it does. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Why not?
I've done science before.
Sure. Look, if I go upstairs if I go upstairs and I dip something in... I don't know, hydrogen peroxide and see it change colors. Did I do science? Or do I have to publish a paper and have it peer reviewed? How does it work?
Well, I mean, science is as science does.
Oh, that old chestnut. Got it. that old wise saying from Forrest Gump.
Well, speaking of scientists, some scientists have conducted an experiment on top of a Swiss mountain where they've managed to direct the path of lightning bolts by shooting lasers at storm clouds and forcing them into submission.
Holy
wow.
shit.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
To what end? What was the effort there? Goal.
They wanted to see if they could make they could rain. Influence the direction of storm clouds by shooting lasers at them. That's really all that's what they were trying to figure out.
So
I'm not influence the direction of the clouds, but influence the direction, like influence where the lightning struck.
Okay, so just the lightning. So if you let's say you've got an area, I don't know, somewhere in the Midwest that's prone to lightning strikes and fires as a result or whatever, this in theory could lead that away to somewhere else or lead them to poles that, that can ground it or something? Or what's the deal?
Maybe some time distantly in the future, the technology would probably have to advance a lot. But this, I think, is more aimed at figuring out, well, it's aimed at the storm clouds, right? But the lasers are. But it's more the point is to maybe deliberately get a lightning strike to go where you wanted it to go for research purposes. Because it's hard to study a lightning strike at the point of where it struck when you can't predict where it's going to strike, right?
Oh, right. So, yeah, because it, by its nature, you don't have, we don't, that's the whole thing is we don't know ever, right? We never know.
Right.
So this is a way to tell.
We can only kind of guess maybe by sticking something tall into
super
the air.
Super tall and metallic. Yeah.
So if they do that, they do it near like a golf course, then those golfers are never going to get struck again. Then go golfing in the rain. Right.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you know that more lightning strikes happen just before and just after the rain than during the rain?
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I just know that as a kid, people were telling me to hide under trees.
Yeah, which is a bad idea. You know that now, right?
Yeah. As an adult, they say
lay down in the field. Yeah.
Don't get anywhere near a tree. So why were they telling me the opposite thing when I was a kid? What happened in the 80s?
Maybe they thought that, who knows? Who knows, man. Why people said the things they said?
Everything was based on old wives' tales when I was a kid, I swear.
Yeah, maybe they thought it was because the tree was wooden and it seems and it'd be more likely to strike something metallic. I don't know.
I've also
when
heard
you see lightning, stop, drop, and roll. That's You'll right. be fine.
Yeah. Duck and cover.
I was also told, I don't know if this is still true, but if you're in a car, you're better off because the tires ground you and you're not going to feel a thing. You might short some stuff, but you're safe.
So the tires because don't the ground won't. You.
Yeah.
The tires don't ground you because they're rubber, so they don't direct lightning to anything.
Another one of these things I was taught when I was young.
But it is true, right? Like, cause then the lightning isn't passing through you.
I think it passes around you. It's you don't want to be in a car when it gets struck by lightning either, because it's lightning is dangerous for other reasons than just being electrocuted.
Sure.
I don't even know what to do with this information. But lightning
better
is
off
dangerous
in the car or better off outside. You're saying better off outside the car.
Maybe. I don't really know. I don't want to give anybody lightning around cars advice for fear that they might die.
No, that's what you said.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. Just know that lightning, when lightning strikes, that lightning strike can get up to 30,000 degrees Celsius, which is hotter than the surface of the sun, 5 times hotter.
Whoa.
So you don't really want to be near lightning, period.
If it gets that hot, it dissipates around it or else, you know, it'd be like a nuke and the whole town would go down.
Sure.
But that must be a very brief moment where it's that hot, right? Like,
And it's in a very small area. It's inches wide. And, but that's what that heat, that intense heat suddenly happening is what causes thunder because of the shockwave of the air expanding where the lightning struck.
Oh, so the sound of lightning, I've never thought about this before. What makes thunder sound? I didn't know that was it.
It's not the strike. It's not like a lot of people, I think, would think that the thunder comes from the lightning striking something.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's just the air around where the path of the plasma
crackling.
Forms.
Okay.
Suddenly expanding very quickly at a super high temperature.
So Thor is the god of thunder. That's a little bit of a misnomer because he doesn't really have. I mean, the power of thunder is dependent on the power of lightning because the lightning needs to have the heat to disperse the sound, which then creates thunder. Like, it's just not as cool, you know?
Yeah. He sits on the throne of lies.
Yeah. This whole time.
Icor actually puts it in an interesting way in the chat. It says that the thunder is the sound of the air hitting itself, which is kind of true.
Oh, that's weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do.
So how does lightning happen? You want to talk about that?
Let's do it.
So thunderstorm clouds, they tend to have positively charged particles at the top of them and lots of negative particles at the bottom. And that's not normal. That's not the normal way charges are distributed in a normal, like, just white puffy cloud. The reason it happens in thunderstorm clouds is because in a thunderstorm cloud, those big, tall, rapidly rising cumulonimbus clouds, you've got a bunch of ice particles that form in there, and they collide with each other, making larger ice particles, right? Well, the larger ice particles will tend to float towards the bottom, and as the smaller ice particles go up past the larger sinking ones, the smaller ones will bump up against them and lose an electron. And so the larger ones collect electrons, which are negatively charged. And since they sink down, you have these negatively charged ice crystals at the bottom of the cloud.
Okay? Weird. Okay.
Yeah.
This is news to me. What were they doing in school with me? Were they just like, the clouds are dark and scary. Anyway, moving on to math class. Like, what? They didn't give us this information. This is new to me.
Yeah. And so what happens is, because you have a bunch of negative charge at the bottom and some positive charge at the top, that creates an electric field around that huge cloud, because of the difference between the charges. Now, the negative charge at the bottom of the cloud also repels negative charge on the ground. So eventually, over time, underneath the storm cloud, the ground tends to be more positively charged because it's pushing away. You know, like with a magnet, negative charges push away other negative charges, right?
Yeah. Right.
So you end up with the positively charged ground and the negatively charged bottom of the cloud. And when enough of that charge builds up, a lightning strike occurs because it's discharging. Now, to understand how these lasers work, you have to understand how the lightning bolt itself forms. So, like I said, the charge between the cloud and the ground gets strong enough, and eventually what happens is a bunch of electrons from the cloud start to move toward the positively charged Earth. Like, literally, they start to make a snaking zigzag line. That's the lightning bolt that you see eventually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these charges are looking for something to make contact with. They want to move towards the positive charge, all right? And they'll make all sorts of different paths. They'll branch off of each other. That's why when you see a lightning strike right before the big strike, you see all these zigzaggy branching paths that go off into nowhere. Mm-hmm. That's because they're all looking for something to connect to.
To connect to, okay.
Yeah. Yep. And they call these stepped leaders. All these, they're leading the path of the electrons, and they call them stepped leaders. And so you have a bunch of stepped leaders that are looking for a positive charge. Only one of them are going to make it before the lightning strikes. The rest of them won't. And at the same time, from the ground, you have the same thing happening with positive charges, and they call those streamers. So where a streamer that's positively charged connects with a leader that's negatively charged, it makes a link with the ground, and then the entire charge that's built up just discharges into that path, and that's where you see the lightning.
And that's where you get the big lightning thunderclap deal.
Yes, exactly.
Here's a sound of a good thunderclap. I'll just for fun here, chat. Here you go.
Hang on a second. It's crazy out here right now.
Okay, I don't want to hear this guy talk. Just show me the thunderclap. Okay, here it is.
I know you hear that shit.
Okay, this is a terrible example, and I regret playing it. But hey, can I ask you this question? Because you're talking about polarity.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of a story that came out last week about somebody who made it into an MRI with their Apple Watch on.
Oh, my God.
They weren't supposed to. You're not supposed to have metal objects on in there or things with metal in
it. You think the warranty covers that?
Who knows? But when they came out, for the life of them, they couldn't figure out why the watch was now repelling the little back charger circle thing that the Apple Watches have. So they normally just clunk and stick on there, but it's now repelling
the charger. Yeah. Okay.
So the story is that the Apple Watch's four magnet part of it had its polarity reversed while in the MRI machine. Do you think does that hold water? Cause it was reported a few places, and I don't know how, you know, scientific the findings were.
I don't know. It seems plausible because you can influence the magnetic charge. Like you can make a piece of metal that's ferromagnetic, like a piece of iron. You can induce a magnetic charge to it, and the direction of the charge will be determined by how you apply a magnet to it. So it seems plausible to me that a strong enough magnet, which an MRI is a very strong magnet, could change the field direction, because it just depends on how the electrons are lined up, or how the polar molecules are lined up in the material. So if you can reverse the way that they're lined up, then that would work, right?
Yeah.
So, and the guy, seems plausible to me, but I don't know for sure.
The guy who claims he did it said, I am thinking about taking the watch back to the MRI center at the hospital and beg them to expose the watch again.
Run it through again.
So they can get it going the other way again. He says it still works, but it barely hangs on because it's really trying to repel it.
Probably has
to
rubber band it to the charging.
Exactly what he said. He has to rubber band it. You're right. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of
And then funny. You got to be careful when you take the rubber band off, because then the rubber band shoots in one direction and your watch shoots in the other direction.
Oh, no. Everyone and no one wins when that happens.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Okay, so we're talking about how this is the basic way a lightning strike happens. Like the actual lightning bolt forms is through these leaders and streamers coming together. But as I said, the leaders are just searching for something to connect to. It's just whatever it happens to make connection with first, that's where the lightning strike's going to happen. So lightning, there are a lot of different ways we can, well, maybe not a lot, but there are a couple of different ways we can direct lightning. We already talked about lightning rods, right? They're helpful, but they aren't perfect. All they do is just add something really tall so that maybe there's a more of a chance that the leader from the cloud, the electrons are going to make it to that before anything else.
Mm.
So that's all a lightning rod is doing, because there's no guarantee that lightning will strike a lightning rod. In fact, it's been reported plenty of times as lightning striking nearby a lightning rod, but not on the lightning rod itself.
Mm-hmm.
It just increases the chance that it's going to, instead of striking something nearby, it'll strike that rod.
Mm-hmm.
Another way that people have tried to direct lightning strikes that actually works is scientists have had luck with shooting rockets into clouds that have a conductive cable attached to it.
Whoa.
Basically, you're like handing it a wire to shoot down.
Wow. That's cool.
And it works. It works.
So you fire it in and immediately the reaction happens and bam, it strikes it?
If there's enough charge built up, for sure, because you're like handing it the charge, the lead to follow. You're saying here's a path,
something close enough.
But does it actually okay, so this is my bigger question. Doing that makes sense to me, but does that actually discharge things enough to now like, oh yeah, we've made that particular cloud system impotent today because we shot a bunch of cables into it?
Well, no, you'd have to keep doing it, right? And that's the problem. That's right. Why it's not an ideal solution, because as with any lightning strike, the clouds that form thunderstorms don't just get one lightning strike. They do it many, many times.
Right.
So you'd have to keep doing it. And so that would be like, the way I think about how this is not an ideal solution, of course, is because it'd be kind of like if you wanted to stop birds from pooping on you, so you shot a bunch of silly string in the air to scare them away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've gotten rid of the poop, but now you have silly string everywhere.
Yeah. No, that's so, like invasive species problems, right? It's like, oh, we got these horrible bugs. Bring those birds in from Madagascar. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Now what's the problem? Oh, we got too many of these birds. Bring
need
in the
to get rid of the birds. And
You might have directed all the lightning strikes, but now you have like metal cables all over the place.
Yeah.
So that's not a great solution. So they thought up these lasers. Now, what do the lasers do? If the lasers are high enough intensity, which these ones were, what they'll do is you shoot it into the cloud and it heats up the air around the laser as it travels through it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why does heating up the air matter? Well, as you heat up the air, the air will move away from the laser beam, creating a channel of low pressure air around the laser. And what that does is all the air that moved out was charged in a certain way, and what's left is charged positively. And so it gives a low pressure charged channel of air a path for the lightning to travel down.
Mm.
And by doing this, they were able to guide several lightning strikes to a tower that they wanted it to strike, and it worked.
Hmm. Wild.
So there you go.
All right.
Cool. Wow.
This is way more than they taught me ever.
Well, now, you know, they can finally make lightning strike twice in the same place.
I guess so.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. And we can throw that old idea away then, right? That old idiom. Yep. Lightning strikes in the same place with very controlled circumstances.
With lasers.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Well, that's awesome stuff as always. I always love hearing this stuff out of Bobby. And Bobby does more of it on his science podcast that comes out weekly. Bobby, what is that show and what's on tap right now?
Well, the show you can listen to and hear all about sciencey stuff is called All Around Science. Me and my co-host Maura, we every week talk about science stuff, news, and just things we're interested in science. This past one, the one that came out yesterday on Monday, is we talked about invisible creatures, animals that are invisible. Transparent, rather.
Oh.
Hmm. I shouldn't say invisible.
Translucent? They're translucent.
Well, no, that's the thing. Some of them are just straight up transparent.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. I'm in.
You got an example? Like baby fish?
Yeah.
There is a thyloid amphipod, is I think what it was called.
Otherwise known as Finnish people. Okay. Keep going.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They were, they're these very large shrimp. They look like shrimp, but the whole thing is just clear. If you were to see a picture of somebody holding one, it's just clear in your hands. And I think I've read somewhere that the aliens from Alien were inspired by
really
this.
What are they called? Xenomorphs. That's who you're talking
xenomorphs,
about.
Xenomorphs, yeah.
Amphipod. I'm trying to find a picture of it, but I can't because I can't remember how it's spelled.
I just looked up. I looked up translucent, transparent. I tried transparent animals, but Google image search thinks you're looking for PNGs without any background. It's not what I'm looking for. So I did
a cow without a background.
Yeah, exactly. So I looked up translucent, and there is a ton of weird stuff, man. Like
there, I put one.
Oh, look
in
at
the
that!
Chat.
That thing's cool and scary as hell.
Let me see it. Is this in our Discord? Oh, look
it's
at
in
that!
Our Discord.
Oh, that is very xenomorphy. Very xenomorphic.
Yeah. Very. Yeah. Face hugger. Ugh. Nope. Not want.
Nope. This would make me. This is enough to make Ripley take control of the weird Jeep car and get out of there.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah. You know, little yellow point, thing. Is that his guts or his heart or something? What is that little orange thing?
I think it's
thing?
The heart.
Okay.
Well, it's a little marinara sauce. It'd be great at some point to talk about that thing that they describe on The Last of Us with the fungus that takes control of your mind and has in insects is a real thing.
Oh, and cats and stuff. Yeah.
It's a type of fungus that we actually haven't, we talked about that. It's called, I can't remember what it's called. But we do have an episode. We talked about that on our show.
Really?
One time.
So here's what's cool about the
cordyceps.
Show.
Cordyceps.
That's right. Cordyceps. Yes.
This is 100%. I know people giggle when I say this. It's 100% not a spoiler about that show, but the game doesn't feature it. And the show does. It's a sort of a pre thing at the beginning that is some scientists sitting around talking on a talk show in the 60s, and they're talking about what could happen, and it's all very foreshadowy, right? And I think it helps the show a lot to help set up the world and what's about to happen and everything. But what I loved about it, it might have been the scariest thing of the whole show, to be honest.
Yes.
The way that was presented was insane and cool, really cool, and just really, you know, cemented the concept of what's coming. But what I liked about it the most is the nervous scientist guy sitting in the middle is the Swede from Hell on Wheels. So I just wanted to point that out. Big old Swedish guy, total freak show actor guy. He'll never be in this again. Is the one time you're going to see him. I love him. Anyway, that's my fun little side note about The Last
of
Us.
So yeah, if you want to hear about transparent animals or cordyceps, zombie fungus that causes zombies, you can find out that all on All Around Science.
Nice. That's go get it today wherever you get your podcast. Bobby Frankenberger, always a pleasure. Oh, that's weird. It reset Discord. Hang up on him. Hold on a second. Why did it do that? I don't know why it does that sometimes. It resets Discord when I remove him.
There he goes. I was like, we can still see it. Let's just sit here and watch Bobby.
Yeah, it's effed. I really don't get that. All right, there you go. That's Bobby. We're just about done today. However, one tiny note today, play retro 3:30 Mountain Time. Put in your calendar and check it out.
What's the subject today?
I think we're doing... It changed, and then we changed back. Hold on a second. Let's make sure I remember and don't say the wrong thing. Oh, yeah. Single-screen top-down arcade racers. So think Super Sprint and like...
Yeah. Battle Rally X. And,
yeah, dude. Oh,
yeah.
My jam as far as like arcade stuff goes. Sure. We're going to talk all about that and get into it pretty deep. Things like Sprint, Super Sprint, as we mentioned. Danny Sullivan's Indy Heat. I remember that one. Badlands, Bump and Jump. Oh, Demolition Derby. Some good stuff. PC Pro-Am. Oh, yeah. Cool. RC, rather. Anyway, that's all coming up today, 3:30 Mountain Time. If you don't want to watch it live, you can always get the podcast wherever you get it afterwards or the YouTube channel for video. And that will be later today. Nice. Brian, you got anything going on today you want to mention?
Working on my 3D printer. That's kind of why I haven't brought up the Steam Deck stand, because over the weekend cranked out so many of these stands. So just about everybody's order who's waiting for theirs is going to get theirs. However, there's a couple people I've reached out to. They're like, it's going to be a couple days later, but I think the nozzle's gotten clogged on the 3D printer, so I'm going to have to do a little emergency medicine on my 3D printer before I can print any more of these.
Makes sense, since you got so many going, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to have issues.
Yeah, and the other 3D printer is down as I wait for a crimper to arrive today so I can make a new part for it.
Nice. But look at you over there, 3D printing the world. I love it.
I'm 3D printing the world is what I'm doing.
Quick reminder, Viva TMSVegas.com now has links to tickets. There is both a swag only and you are coming to Vegas version of the ticket, just like last year. If you want to come to this event, get in there quick and get them, because part of the reason they're up now without much other details other than, you know, stuff's coming, is so that we can get headcounts. And work on how many things I got printed or have to get printed, get ready, get done, all that stuff. So anyway, hit in there, get in there. We've already seen a bunch of you do it. Help us know what total amount of people are coming in April. That would be awesome. Again, that is vivatmsvegas.com for details.
Yeah, can't wait to see you all there. It's 90-something days away, 96 days away or something last time I looked.
It's not much.
It's not
quicker than you think, y'all.
That's right. 96 days, 6 hours, 17 minutes, and 31 seconds.
Boom. So there's that. real quick, our Patreon is always up and ready for you. And if you would like to join us today at patreon.com/TMS, you would be more than welcome, because it is through you and by you that we get to have a show at all. So thank you so much for your support, those who are already there. And if you haven't yet, hop in now at patreon.com/TMS. Get great monthly benefits, our couch party weekends, no commercials ever, and pre-show content every single day, and post-show, I should say. So go check it out, patreon.com/TMS. For everything else, you'll find it at frogpants.com/TMS, and we're going to get out of here now with some music. Brian, what did you bring?
Yeah, this one's going out to Cammy, a.k.a. K. Katsumi, in the chat. She says, "Hey, Snickers and Baby Ruth, my birthday was on January 14th, but no shows on Saturdays, so I'm asking for Monday the 16th. No show yesterday either. Any good cover of the song Holding Out for a Hero would be great. Can I get a You Guys Sound Sparkly today?"
Oh, I think I have that handy. Oh, my gosh. Old Daryl clip. Here we go. Spark. Lee, here it is.
You guys sound kind of sparkly.
Yeah. Don't forget, he was naked.
He was naked when he left that message.
Yep. Yep.
So I decided to stay away from the Shrek soundtrack, which has two, count them, two covers of that song, one by Fru Fru and one by Jennifer Saunders, and go with something that I haven't played before, a version by Amazing Transparent Man from their album Taking Back the Covers, covering that song by Bonnie Tyler. Here is Holding Out for a Hero.
Awesome. We will be back tomorrow with a brand new show. We hope you'll be here with us. It's our Wednesday edition. That means recommendals and Tom and all that stuff. So please, please come back and join us then. We'll see you tomorrow.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Just once, I'd like to taste something without getting a mouthful of hair.